it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
It's a kind of an overcast, but a delightful day at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. On the Sunday afternoon, Orioles and Tigers about to close out a four-game series, and it is Boxer Chocolates Day at Camden Yards. Ubaldo Jimenez is on the hill. He's been pitching real well. We'll see what happens here this afternoon. Hey, the Orioles these days are pretty healthy, and they're about to get healthier because Mark Trumbo can join the ball club on Wednesday out there in Southern California. And Buck Showalter, about Mark Trumbo. Huh?
Y'all know Mark's going with us today. He hit on the field yesterday and threw. So that's another thing about the 10-day DL that's different. You know, you're not that removed from playing. You know, it's 15 days, you'd probably look at it differently. If it's 15 days, you probably wouldn't have put him on the disabled list. I mean, I see the transactions that come over the bulletin we get every day. The DL and the 10 days, it's going to be interesting when the year's over and people really step back and examine the 10-day DL versus the 15-day. I don't know if it's quite worked out like they thought it would. Some teams are kind of using it for a rest period.
Do you prefer one way or the other as far as the trip, two trips out there?
Or I'd rather just go once.
And get rid of it.
Like to have an off day in front, at the end, and in the middle. Ain't going to happen. What do we have, like 2 days off in August? I mean, the month where you really need the most. I'm sure there's great reasons for it. I'm sure if you sat down with the schedule makers, because everybody wants something. They want to be home during this day. They want to be, and then you got eight clubs are requesting the same thing. You know, I don't know what the tiebreaker is. I know who usually loses those tiebreakers, I can tell you that. I feel like Chris will be available. Chris and hopefully Castro, we're not sure yet until we get through with the pre. You know, Roger's out there with them now. We'll have an idea of, you know, could be that neither one of them we feel good about using today, but I feel like we were going to need a long reliever there for a while last night. But we were fortunate that Brad had had 3 days off and Zach was going to, both those guys were going to pitch yesterday anyway. It's funny how the guy that pitched the inning in the third ended up with the fewest number of pitches. Zach was pretty good last night. I was watching some of that this morning.
Speaking of Chris, we talked to him. We talked to him today.
How do you do?
It's okay. But I was going to ask you, did you find that his – how did you find his mood, and how did you find how he accepted the move?
Chris is the ultimate what's best for the team guy. Believe me, I know you may not always – he wears it, and it bothers him. You know the – strong will or whatever you want to say it takes to go out there and have that outing and then go upstairs, get your ice or whatever treatment and come back and sit in the dugouts for five innings, you know, and be there. Try doing that sometime. It's hard. He does. It eats at him. Can you imagine having the success that he's had and not being able to get there again? So, you know, we talk like, you know, it's among friends. It's not, you know, you have that. Roger and I talked to him. Here's the way we see it. How do you see it? You know, we got three or four options here. What do you see? He wants what's best for the team. And like I said, when we put Ubaldo down there, I'll bet you Chris is going to, that we're going to have a need, and Chris is going to be ready to serve it.
The last time that you, in 2015, when you put Jones in the leadoff spot, you were eager to move him out of that.
Oh, in a perfect world, but we haven't had that perfect world leadoff guy.
Do you have? Is Beckham a possibility for a leadoff guy?
Where would you hit Adam?
I'm just asking.
Right. So where would you hit Adam? I mean, there's always point counterpoint. You know, John. I don't want to mess with John. Manny is doing a lot better. You know, there's a lot of ways you could go, and Tim's doing real well where he is, which is a little higher than he's kind of been, and it presents a possibility if we want to go there, especially if Adam needs a day or something. Tim would be considered, depending on, it's going to be hard to think that he could continue this pace. I'm trying to figure out what pitch he hit for a home run. I watched it a couple of times. I meant to ask him today, was it a split change or was it just a cement mixer slider? So it just, it's like 86 miles an hour, just kind of. No, but Tim, you know, I'm sure y'all are getting a lot of stuff from about that, and you asked me, and yeah, he's given that. I think he's let off a little bit. But, okay, that's one thing. Then where does Adam go, and where does Manny go, and where does John go, and where does Chris go, and where does Trumbo go? He's getting ready to come back. And those are all good things.
It's a Sunday afternoon, Camden Yards, Orioles, Tigers, the Game 4 finale coming up. And in a moment, Jim Hunter, for him, the price is always right. That would be Jim Price, who is now an Orioles, a Tiger broadcaster, but a former big league catcher, and they will talk pitching. Makes sense to me on the Orioles Radio Network.
On a hazy afternoon at Camden Yards, we'll talk pitching with former catcher Jim Price after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles wrap up the seven-game homestand today at Camden Yards, the finale of four against the Tigers, and visiting with former big league catcher Jim Price, who caught from 1967 to 71, which really was the golden era of pitching. Now, Jim, we hear all the time, where's all the pitching? Well, where is all the pitching?
Well, that's a good point. Things are so different. You know, that era I played in, for most of that era, the mounds were real high. The strike zone was legitimate, the way it's supposed to be called. And I think one year the guy that won the batting title was like 299. I mean, that's how tough it was to hit in those days.
The mound was lowered in 1969, 15 inches to 10 inches. Really, was it that dramatic of a difference?
Yeah, it really was, because I remember walking out to the mound talking to our pitchers before they lowered the mound. It's a major difference. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really does. In fact, it's amazing that O'Day does as good as he does, because sidearm pitchers and submarine pitchers can't get the leverage like they used to. So O'Day is an exception.
Now, you look at the 20-game winners, which is, of course, how we judge successful starters over a year. And I was looking in your era, 1969, there were 15 20-game winners in the major leagues, 11 in 70, 14 in 1971. Last year, there were three in all of Major League Baseball. Is that a drop-off in the quality? What do you think it is?
You know, I don't know what it is. I think the players of today could do just what these fellows did by pit making. You know, they're no pitch count. I remember catching Mickey Loley's threw 150 pitches in a game, and then won the game back and pitched out of the bullpen 2 days later. So I think if the guys of today who have great arms are brought up that way, I think they could do the same thing. It'll never get that way again. That's why when people say, will there ever be a 30-game winner like McLean? I said, no, they don't have that many starts.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. Back in that era, in your era, it was a four-man rotation, yeah. So you got more starts. Now it's a five-man. I don't think that will ever change. But the other thing is you're looking at, if you have 15 20-game winners in 1969, 14 in 1971, they have to be quality pitchers. Right. Where has the quality of the pitching athlete gone?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing to say, because I caught Mickey Loley, as I told you, when he threw 140, 150 pitches. And Denny McLean, he was unbelievable, winning 31 games. And those guys that I caught were pitchers. They were not throwers. McLean could get any pitch over at any time, four different pitches. Loley was the same way. Earl Wilson was the same way. These guys attacked the hitters, and I think that was one of the things that was a little bit different. In my era, we do have some pitchers today that attack the hitters. All of them attack the hitters. I mean, they didn't let you. If you took a big swing, you went down the next time up. So they controlled the mound. That was a big part of it. Nowadays, they don't control home plate, because I've seen guys give up four, five, six hits in a row like yesterday, and nobody bites the dust. Nobody dances. So I think that's a big difference also.
You mentioned the strike zone, and if you look in the rule book, the picture of the strike zone in no way resembles what we see here and what we're going to see this afternoon. And one of the pet peeves that I have is it's that umpire strike zone. I thought it's supposed to be a universal MLB strike zone, but we never see it. Does that hurt the pitchers?
It definitely hurts the pitchers. I mean, listen, let's face it. In this series, the umpiring in this series with balls and strikes have not been good. I mean, they're giving strikes to pitchers, two balls to the right, two balls to the left, and even two balls down. Not so much on the high pitch, but I think that's affected the game a lot. I really do. That the style of umpiring that you have nowadays, and I think in the day that I played in also, you knew the umpires really well. They didn't get time off. They don't have it made. You know, these umpires do today. They make a lot of money, but in my ear, it was so different, and you knew the umpires really well. You got along with them. You could say, for instance, I'm catching McLean, and I warm him up in the bullpen. I said, look, his fastball is not real good. We're going to throw a lot of breaking balls, so be ready for that. I mean, you could do those things in those days.
You know, John, you mentioned pitch counts, and I think the way the pitchers are coddled through the minor leagues, it gets in their head. Last night, Wade Miley was out after five innings because he had 113 pitchers. The other night, if Verlander doesn't go seven, he doesn't get the win. Verlander goes back to what Jim Palmer always talks about. I never wanted to come out of the game, Palmer said. Verlander did that. I think we're teaching the pitchers, not us, but Major League Baseball, as they come up through the minors, that, you know what, 100 pitches is okay. Give me 100 pitches, we'll go to the bullpen.
Yeah, no question about that. Verlander's a special guy because he's one of the all-time great pitchers. He doesn't want to come out of the game. Jim Palmer, I bet against Jim Palmer. I wished he would have come out of the game, but he never wanted to come out of the game either. The quality pitchers are like that. But, you know, I was kind of warned about Miley, you know, what he would do, and it really lived up to it's amazing what he's done because he was behind in the count all the time, 3-2 all the time, and yet he really hung in there and did a pretty good job. But that wears you thin. I mean, that just – I watched it. I said on the air right away, I said, look at Manny at third, hands on the hips. Already the outfielders are, like, trying to move around to stay awake. And I think that's a big difference also. You got to have a pitcher that pounds the strike zone.
How much has the advent of the bullpens and how managers use them, where bullpens are built from the back forward, and it seems to me the managers can't wait to get to them. How has that affected starting pitching?
Well, I think that's affected a lot, but I mean, it depends who the starters are. We have Michael Fulmer doesn't want to come out. We have Justin. Those two guys, they don't want to come out. But we don't have the bullpen like you have where you can shorten games. You know, we sold Justin Wilson, you know, to the Cubs. He was our closer. Now Green is doing the job, but you guys have a bullpen that you can shorten games. You're going to be a champion if you can shorten games. I mean, look at the Royals for years. If you were losing after six, game was over. I mean, I think that's the way with you guys. I looked at the stats. We had, in one game, we had two hits after the third inning, and I think we had two hits yesterday after the first inning. I mean, that's quality bullpen work. So from Bucks, I think Buck's a great manager. So from his standpoint, you got Miley out there. You want to get him out of there and get these other guys in because they're really good.
Well, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the win column again this afternoon as they beat the Tigers in the finale of a four-game series. They win this one by a score of 12-3, first time in the series that the Orioles did not trail after the first inning. Orioles here today got off to a tremendous start. But really, Ubaldo Jimenez did a wonderful job today of pitching out of trouble. He had base runners on just about the entire game, but hey, he was good when he had to be, and he winds up winning it to run his record to 5-7. Now, Ubaldo today gave up a leadoff double to get his game started. So right away, the Tigers had a runner in scoring position with nobody out. But then he got two outs, and then Castellanos got a walk, and there was a stolen base. So there were two runners on base with two outs when Mikey Mathieu came up to hit. And the pitch. Got him looking. Strike three called. Fastball picked up the outside corner. Mathieu does not concur. But Ramon Ortiz, the plate umpire, did not hesitate. He rang him up. And Ubaldo picks up a big strikeout with base runners on second and third to retire the side. So there you go. Ubaldo, 20 pitches, but no damage done. And then his teammates showed up right away in the bottom of the first inning. One out, Manny Machado, a single, and then the second baseman came up to hit. Here's the pitch. There's a high fly ball. Way back in left, Jonathan Schoop. Pink and bye-bye. High and deep, and it gets out. Number 25 for Schoop. Machado scores ahead of him. Ah, the two best friends, they get together, and they give the Orioles a 2-0 lead. So there you go. Schoop, number 25. And then just moments after that, Davis launches one way back in right center. Did you, big fella? Yes, you did. Piped it bye-bye. Schoop and Davis back to back. And it's a 3-0 Oriole lead. Davis, number 18. And then moments after that, Sanchez with a 1-2 to Mancini. There's a high drive. Hit to deep left field. Back to back to back. Boom, boom gets it done. My goodness. He's got 18 home runs. And the Orioles have homered three times in the first inning. They got a 4-0 lead. Yeah, Mancini, number 18. In the second inning, Machado continued his big day. And the pitch on the way. Manny sends a fly ball out toward right center. On the run, Aducci. Can he get there? He reaches out, and he cannot get there. That's going to be extra bases. The run is in. Machado into second base. He's got a standout double. It's a 5-0 Oriole lead. Machado gets you done with two outs. And then in the fourth inning, again, Machado continued his big day.
Jones at first with nobody down. Sanchez deals, swinging a high fly ball center field. That ball struck well. Back on it is Matuk at the wall. It is gone. It's on to the side farm for Machado. And the Orioles are blowing it open here. It's now 8-0 Baltimore in the fourth. Their fifth home run of the day.
Yeah, that was just moments after Rickard had connected for a home run. So, yeah, the Orioles at that point in total command, as was Ubaldo Jimenez here today in an interesting manner. Ubaldo today did not have a clean inning.
And the 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He got him with a splitter, knocked out by Caleb. He'll have to fire to first base, and he does, to retire Romine and two men down. So Ubaldo is an out away from his first three-up, three-down inning. And a strikeout number six for Jimenez.
Yeah, but he gave up a single after that. Ubaldo, as we said, was good when he had to be, and he winds up going 5 2/3, gave up one run on nine hits. Orioles were not done yet offensively because in the eighth inning they put up a four spot, and again it was Machado in the middle of it. And Machado grounds the ball into left field. That's a base hit. So Caleb is coming in, his Rickard being waved in, and the ball back into third. And for Manny Machado, he's had four hits. That one drives in two. He's had a 5 RBI day. It is now 10-1 Orioles. So there you go. Now, I know you're wondering, what about Tim Beckham? What'd he do today? Well, he was 0-for-3 when he came to hit in the eighth inning. Here comes the 2-0 delivery. Beckham fly ball deep right. Backing up, Aducci looking behind him. It's off the scoreboard. He's in the hit column again. He'll have a long single as Aducci quickly gets it back into second base. But that'll drive in a run. And so Beckham in that hit column and the RBI column. It is now 12-1 Orioles in the eighth inning. We told you about Jimenez, outstanding. Blyer out of the bullpen. He goes 2 1/3 scoreless. Donnie Hart came in to get the final three outs. He struggled, but he did get it done. Here comes a 1-1 delivery. As a line drive, and that's a diving grab by Beckham. And from the outfield, he throws it to first base to get the out. On a one-hopper, Tim Beckham these days is doing it all. A phenomenal defensive play to end the game. And the Orioles again in the win column, their second consecutive victory. Now they lost the first two. They come back to split the four-game series. They win the finale, and they win it in no uncertain terms. So as the Orioles congratulate each other, now they hit the road for 10 games on the West Coast. Yeah, they went 12-3, five home runs here today. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Orioles beat the Tigers by a final of 12-3. So after losing the first two games in this series, the Orioles bounce back and win the last two. So the Birds go 5-2 on the homestand. They're now 4-2 in August, and yet again, back within a game of 500 at 54-55 as they get set to head west to begin a 10-game road trip tomorrow night in Anaheim against the Angels. Well, Manny Machado on a day where the offense shined, 12 runs on 17 hits. He had a 4-for-5 day, including a home run and 5 RBIs. Following the game, Manny Machado on Masson with Gary Thorne and Mike Borden.
So the Orioles come away with a big wrap here, 12-3 to end up on the homestand 5-2, split the four games with the Detroit Tigers. Manny Machado, big part of it today, 20th home run, picked up a couple of singles, double to go with it, and a big 5 RBI ball game. Manny, congratulations on the ball game.
Thank you.
Hey, how about a little read on Beckham? You get a chance. I mean, you're there. Great fielder you are. Talk a little bit about what you see defensively.
I mean, he's bringing energy to the infield. You know, he wants to be here, and he's a hard worker. He's been working with Bobby D since we got here, working on some things, trying to get better. And, you know, that's just going to help us, you know, in the long haul. You see that play that he just made to end the game. And, you know, he's making all the routine plays, making the nice plays as well. And, you know, obviously he's coming up clutch in key situations at the plate.
Hey, Manny, this was a really important homestand, I think, for this team. You guys rallied at the end to take two of four from the Tigers. Do you think these last two wins will help you as you head to the West Coast?
Oh, definitely. You know, we had a good at home. We started off the homestand pretty good and then, you know, came up and lost the first two games of the series. And we came back and battled, you know. You know, this team always likes to battle and we like to put things in tough situations. So we just got to continue doing what we got to do. Keep playing baseball. You know, everyone's kind of just getting into line now and, you know, trying to figure their stuff out. And we just got to continue playing as a team, and hopefully, you know, we have a good away.
Manny, it's got to be a real uplift for you to see the starters beginning to do what you'd hope they do all season long. You're getting some depth. You're getting some quality out of the guys who take to the mound. That's an uplift for the whole team, is it not?
Definitely. You know, I know they had it in the beginning of the season, and, you know, we weren't hitting too well. We're just keeping them in the game, and, you know, they're giving us the opportunity. And, you know, now it's vice versa. Now we're given the opportunity. We're out there hitting. We're playing as a team. We're doing everything together. And, you know, when we do that, you know, we could be powerful.
Manny, we appreciate it. They gave out baseball cards today. I got yours. Mike wants to trade with me, but I don't think he's got enough to give me. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so Manny Machado with a big day. He goes 4-for-5, including a home run and 5 RBI. So Manny now 20 home runs. He joins the 20 home run club, and he has 61 RBIs. So the Orioles win at 12-3. They head out on the road on a 2-game winning streak. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
How we doing? Yeah, that'll get written down. Where'd they move it to?
They moved across the street to the LSC at Hilton up there.
Oh, it's across the street?
Center. No, it got pulled.
Sorry, what we got?
Last year, you guys were known for the home run. This year, you've sort of flown in a lot of ways under the radar when it comes to the home run. Is it happy that you're happy to see such a?
I don't know where are we compared to last year. Is it because everybody else is hitting more or less? I don't even look at it. It's about run production, but, you know, he made some, you know, fortunate. Sanchez made some mistakes, and our guys were on them. Sometimes day game after night game, it's sometimes a few innings before you get on track. But, you know, they made him pay for the mistakes he made. You knew the ball was going to be flying out of here today. And for our pitching staff only to give up one, that's pretty remarkable. Any pitching staff, that, you know, I'm just saying, that's a tough gig in a day game here.
How do you critique a Baldo performance? Like, it's only one run, there's 9 hits, a lot of guys on base, but then very,
you know, I never felt like, I know he had a lot of pitches he thought he should have got, but, you know, that seems always the case sometimes, but I didn't feel like, you know, it kind of surprised me. I went and looked out there and saw 9 hits, and I thought he had pretty good stuff. I did. He's been carrying a good fastball for a long time. He's been able to get back in some counts with a well-located fastball instead of a centered fastball. He made a lot of 2-0 quality fastball strikes today. And I didn't think he was carrying, you know, the split wasn't quite there like he was before. But pitching with that lead, going out there and hanging zeros up after we score was a good mentality for our club. How about the last play? I know Martinez is running. That's some play there. Was the thing, not, but the play where he didn't throw the ball to third with the lead instead of just took his time and threw the ball across the diamond. I mean, that's good to see.
Buck, you finish a nice home stand. How do you feel the team's playing now as you head out west?
Well, you know, you have a good series against Kansas City, and then, you know, Detroit pops you a couple times, and it's a challenge to come back. You know, it's a big win for us last night. I said that after the game coming in my office. It's one of those, sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm right. I felt good coming into today's game that, you know, to get back and finish up, what, something like 5-2. But we got a tough road. Anaheim, once again, is probably the only team playing better than Kansas City before we played them. They're doing real well, and Seattle's making moves and playing well. And, of course, Oakland in that place is always, you never know what you're going to get.
We seem to make a big deal of what's coming up next, and it's a 162-game season.
Yeah, we have to because other stuff's behind us, right?
Right. But, I mean, 10 games, Richard, you know, a lot of teams struggle in the West. You guys have struggled in the West in the last few years.
Not always. Yeah. Last few years, I mean, I haven't looked at it. I'm sure you're right.
6 seasons, yeah. So, I mean, given all that, you know, I mean, how important is it to do well in these next 10 games?
So is the season over if we don't do well and on the West Coast? No. But we're gonna, you know, our guys know what's at stake the rest of the season, and that road trip includes that.
Seems like this whole homestand, Manny's been, shooting balls to right field and using the middle of the field too. Is that the biggest difference as you look at how he's kind of turned things around offensively over this last
year? Yeah, it's not like, believe me, he and Scott, they talk. I mean, if y'all could see the work in the film, it's just, he knows that. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a good field, approaches are our habit. And then when you get out of it a little bit, and you know, as much as you try to do things, you know, there's a lot of mechanical things that are hard to repeat, just like a pitcher's delivery. And believe me, there's a lot of times it may look like he's trying to pull the ball, but he's not. You know, when you're where your bat angle and your bat head can't get where your body's taking you, it's hard. And as much as you try to slow down, and keep in mind these guys are throwing 96 miles an hour, then all of a sudden they're throwing 87 mile slider. It's not easy just to go out there, hey, I'm just going to hit the ball to the right today. It's not that easy. You know, plus the pitchers know what you're trying to do for the most part too. You know, it's like Scott says all the time, you know, it's always a product of a good, you know, there's a mental approach and there's a physical approach. When you get those two things going together like Manny has right now, you get some good results. Okay.
Okay, post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win the finale here to split this four-game series with the Tigers. Final score today, 12-3.